What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Georgia, your national champion once again. And you could have fell asleep at halftime. Because what a disaster of a game that was. Now, I'm not taking anything away from TCU's season. They had a wonderful, remarkable, an unheard of season from going into the year where they weren't even picked in the top 25. They were picked 7th in the Big 12. No one expected anything out of Sonny Dykes in year one. Heck, even Sonny Dykes on this show, when they were 5-0, said he was surprised that they were 5-0. And Max Duggan originally wasn't the starter, then because of an injury gets into the lineup. I know he started games there for a while before, but he runs all the way to New York for a Heisman Trophy finalist and then takes them to the semifinal where they go up against Michigan. They beat Michigan, and the next thing you know, they're in the national championship game. But my oh my, I can't even say that they got beat last night, because it doesn't even do like service to the game that we saw. They just got annihilated, though, TCU. And I know people are going to say, Hickey, hey, TCU didn't deserve to be there. TCU couldn't even win the Big 12. They shouldn't have got there. With the way the college football played out, first off, they should have been there. Second off, if you're going to have that argument, it's really only valid if they would have lost in the first round. Once they beat Michigan, you can't tell me they didn't deserve to be in the national championship game. So that's the TCU spiel. Then you get into the Georgia side. It's just dominant, 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 dominant victory and a dominant, 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 dominant season. Where if you look back at Georgia, really only times that you were like, uh-oh, here we go, upset alert, was that game up against Missouri. Like, you look back earlier in the year, they beat Oregon 49-3 to set the tone of the college football season. No one cares what they did against Samford. They won 30-0. They beat South Carolina, who ended up having another good season under Shane Beamer, 48-7. Now, wasn't that the game where Shane Beamer was freaking out when they were honoring student athletes because they wouldn't get off the field, if memory serves me right? You know, they beat Kent State 39-22. Tough to get up for that game. But that Missouri game was the closest one, 26-22 in the regular season. You beat Auburn 42-10. You beat Vandy 55-0. You beat Florida 42-20. You beat Tennessee 27-13. And that game wasn't as close as what the score read. You crushed Mississippi State 45-19. All right, you beat Kentucky by 10, 16-6. You beat up on Georgia Tech 37-14. And then the SEC title game, you beat LSU by 20. So in the regular season and the SEC title game, their closest game was Missouri. And then in the semifinal, Ohio State gave them everything they could, and it still wasn't enough as they missed that field goal wide, and I mean wide, to the left. So for Georgia, this is once again you being on top, now doing it back-to-back years. As impressive as last year was, this one's more impressive as you were undefeated. And not only that, with all that you lost, it just showed you that that program and that culture is just operating like a machine. It's Alabama-like. And we've seen other teams, right, get to the championship game, win, and then they kind of start to fall off, like LSU, who is as dominant as you may have ever seen from a national champion. You then look at a school like Auburn. They've been to two championship games, in recent memory, 1-1, and then have had their constant changing of coaches. Clemson had sustained success for a while, but look, now they are starting to fade off the last 2 years, even though they won the ACC championship this year, but that's not something really to pop champagne about. Doesn't feel like Clemson is close to knocking on that door again of the college football playoff. But for Georgia, they are the team that, like, now they're the new Alabama. And that doesn't mean that Alabama can't go win it all next year. But Alabama's not the team that you go into the season saying they're going to find a way, without a doubt, to the college football playoff, without a doubt, to a national championship game. Georgia is that team that even if they drop a game in the regular season, even if they're undefeated and they drop a game in the SEC title game, until someone takes them out when you're in the Final Four next year, why would I pick against them? Why would I pick against that program with the way that Kirby Smart has those guys humming? You just can't. And the other side of this last night too, Hickey, is who do you think feels worse last night? Is it the Michigan fan or is it the Ohio State fan? Because the Michigan fan, even though they got beat by TCU, there's probably a split feeling of, okay, TCU was the better team, or you have that conflicting feeling of, we threw the Philly special play, it didn't work. We fumbled the ball at the one. You had the call overturned. You threw two pick sixes, and you could think to yourself you were the better team. You just played your worst game of the season. But the Ohio State fan, with how it played out, with Michigan losing to TCU and TCU getting in that national championship game and just getting annihilated, just like the Michigan fan could say, wow, how did we lose that game when this team just got destroyed by this much up against Georgia? The Ohio State fan's thinking, if we just make the kick, or if you just protect the lead, you're going up against TCU. And even though TCU's had a great season, after seeing what happened last night, if you're Ohio State, you beat Georgia, you're thinking maybe it's not going to be 65-7. But you're thinking if you're Ryan Day, even in a year where you backed your way into the college football playoff after losing to Michigan, you probably would have won the national championship. You would have won the national championship if you would have just beat Georgia in a game that you had a lead. And at the end, you had an opportunity to go kick a game-winning field goal. And I know it was a long kick, but your kicker missed it wide to the left. Who feels worse probably after last night when you get out of the actual national championship game? Because you know TCU feels horrible, even though it was a very special season. Georgia, there's nothing to feel horrible about. You're undefeated. You're one of the more dominant teams of all time. But is the Ohio State fan or the Michigan fan having more regrets after seeing the way that that game played out last night, Hickey?
Without a doubt, Ohio State.
Because
without
you would have won it all.
Because you can actually sit there and say, we took Georgia the ropes. We should have won that game, you could argue. And Georgia was not sharp whatsoever. That was one of the best chances they had. And like I said, it wouldn't have been 65-7, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I would feel pretty comfortable saying Ohio State would have won that game. Whereas if you're Michigan,
you still could have lost to Georgia.
You still can't feel good saying you would have beat Georgia last night.
Now, the way that the Michigan fan would have felt terrible, even more so than last night, if Ohio State would have beat Georgia, let's just say, and then TCU is up against Ohio State, and let's just say Ohio State beat TCU by two touchdowns, with the way that Michigan just destroyed Ohio State in that fourth quarter, then that's the way that the Michigan fan would be feeling just awful if Ohio State ends up winning the national title. But it's kind of a waste of a conversation because neither happened. So, yeah, probably rough if you're Ohio State watching that game last night, and also rough if you're Michigan. Because if you're Michigan, it's like, how'd you lose to TCU when it's that wide of a gap against Georgia? And then for Ohio State, it was, okay, we had them on the ropes. We were about to deliver the knockout punch. And just as we were about to deliver the knockout punch, Georgia shows you that they have the heart of a champion. So when we look into the future here, Hickey, and we could do this multiple ways. In 1 hour, we'll do this. What team is going to challenge Georgia the most? And then in another hour, we'll do when you get into the top three of college football coaches, because Kirby Smart and Nick Saban are the two best coaches in college football, then who would be the third from here on out? So you want to do it from a team standpoint, Hickey, here, or do you want to do it from a coaching standpoint in terms of which one that we'll just tackle here first?
Let's start with coach.
Okay, so we'll save the teams for the next hour. So without a doubt, and if you want to have a debate one and two, you can. Whichever order you want, Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are the two best coaches in college football. Is that a true statement? You don't have no objection to that?
No, none whatsoever.
Just making sure. You never know. Sometimes you say the simplest of things these days, and people just try to make an issue to make an issue. Who's the third best coach in college football? Right now, who is the third best coach in college football, in your opinion?
Lincoln Riley of USC. He's always going to have a quarterback. You see, he was knocking on the door in year one at USC. If you have a quarterback, you have a chance. I'll go Lincoln Riley.
Okay. I'm going to make a long-term bet, and I'm not going to answer this in like the right now today, because you could maybe still make a case that Dabo Sweeney is still the third best coach in college football. I'd push back on that a little bit, even though he won the ACC this year. He had a chance to go college football playoff. Their team blew it late. The year before that, they didn't adjust. And I know that it was ugly ending for Elliott there. And DJ Uiagalelei took a big step back. And then this year, whenever DJ Uiagalelei looked like he should have got pulled, he gave you a moment. And then it just was never really consistent. We'll see what Cade Klubnik does moving forward. But for Dabo, I think he's trending in the wrong direction. So if you tell me today it's still Dabo Sweeney, I guess you can't really argue it that much. But moving into the future, I think Dabo, even if he still continues to dominate the ACC, I don't think it's going to lead him to another national championship anytime soon. So Lincoln Riley is a fair one. Here's my just concern about USC. And USC, you have another year in the Pac-12, and then you're going over to the Big Ten. That defense is just non-existent. And you've seen that with Lincoln Riley teams where, yeah, they have Caleb Williams. Yeah, they have Baker Mayfield. They have Jalen Hurts. They have Kyler Murray. They have great Heisman Trophy play at the quarterback position. But is it enough to win a national championship? Especially when that college football playoff is expanding to 12 teams, it makes it even tougher to go win the national title. So for Lincoln Riley, as great of a coach as he is, I just have that skepticism because the defense is my big concern, Hickey. That's my big concern. And what is a difficult question trying to figure out who's going to be the third best coach in college football for the foreseeable futures, because you know Saban, until he retires, is going to be right up there. Kirby Smart is right up there as well. And today you see that Alex Grinch is coming back and Lincoln Riley was defending that. That defense is problematic for me. Whereas great as Caleb Williams should be next year, you just wonder if it's enough. And then also you're going into the Big Ten soon. I just wonder that defense is going to burn him against an Ohio State or going to burn him against a Michigan moving forward into the future.
Two things. One, I'd much rather have the defense be an issue than the offense. So I get it. If you're going to have an award, it's not ideal, but I'd much rather have a defensive liability than an offensive liability.
Now, if they were going to the SEC, maybe a little bit different.
But the second thing is, with going to the Big Ten, Ike, I'm not defending him because I think you should get a new defensive coordinator. And you're right. It's been a track record where he's been at Oklahoma, now the 1 year at USC, the defense has been awful. I do think going to the Big Ten is going to force him, though, have to change the way he recruits on defense, because you have to be physical in the trenches. Yeah. Where in the Big 12, you know, they don't really play defense. Well, no one plays defense anymore anyway, in general. But the Big 12, they air it out. So you have to build a defense that's more, you know, defensive back oriented than, let's say, toughness in the trenches. You're not going to have really a choice going to the Big 10. I think you have to change your recruiting. That's where I want to see 2-3 years in the Big 10. If it's still the same problem we're talking about today, I may change my answer. But right now, I think he will turn it around defensively eventually.
Now, as long as Jim Harbaugh stays at Michigan, which is very much so up in the air, and as long as Ryan Day is at Ohio State, they'll always be in the conversation of two of the better coaches in the country. And I know I've been critical of Ryan Day the last 2 years because he's failed to show up against Michigan. But those programs, with what Ohio State has shown for the last decade and Michigan has shown for the last 2 years, they are always just loaded. So the question for Michigan, does Harbaugh stay? And can, if you're Harbaugh, can you advance it to the next step? Because now it's back-to-back years. You beat Ohio State. You find a way to win the Big Ten twice. You're in the college football playoff. Against Georgia, okay, it's Georgia. But then against TCU, you lose. So can you take it to the next step? And for Ryan Day, we've seen him get to a national championship game before. But can you find a way to reel it back in and perform the way that you're supposed to perform up against Michigan for the standards of that school? And then, oh yeah, by the way, can you go win a national title too? So with Harbaugh maybe on the way out, and Ryan Day not winning a national title yet, It's just, okay, I got to see a little bit more with how long they've been around. Now, here's going to be my answer for you. And it's not today. It's not in the now. It's just moving forward into the future the way that I'm going to answer it. So, as we said, the three best coaches, two of the three best coaches in college football moving forward into the future. You know it's Kirby Smart. You know it's Nick Saban. I'm going to bank on Brian Kelly at LSU. And if I would have said that, Hickey, a year ago, I think I would have got torched because the whole family stuff and the weird recruiting videos. Brian Kelly did a great job at Notre Dame, even though in the big moments they did come up short in that national title game. They just got destroyed by Alabama and other times that they eventually did make the college football playoff. But what we saw this year out of Brian Kelly from LSU, I was really impressed by, especially when there were a lot of excuses early when everyone was looking to just burn you and you had that bad performance up against Florida State to kick off the year. But you look at LSU, and I know it's Saban. Saban went there, won a title. Les Miles went there, won a title. Ed Orgeron. LSU didn't even want to hire Ed Orgeron. Went there, won a title. Now, there is a question out there if Brian Kelly is just a really, 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 really good coach or a great coach. Now, we once asked that about Kirby Smart. Now we know the answer to that. For Brian Kelly, though, and take Saban out of it, but Saban's not the way then we talk about him now. But you look at the three coaches that have gone there and won, Brian Kelly's a better coach than Ed Orgeron. Brian Kelly's a better coach than Les Miles. So with those resources, and especially what he did in year one getting to the SEC title game when no one thought he would be there, I'm kind of going to bank, even in what's going to be a wild conference, with the way that Georgia is now the creme de la creme. You know Alabama's not going anywhere. I'm going to go all SEC coaches here. And I'm going to say Brian Kelly continues to just do a really good job at LSU and carry off this momentum that he had in year one. What do you think about Brian Kelly? I know it's not your answer, but what do you just think about it?
The thing that he's a great coach. The thing I guess that gets me is he's a little too inconsistent for my liking in terms of being the third behind Kirby and behind Nick Saban. Just because this is a guy that we saw even this year at LSU. He said they started off that game against Florida State, which they were very undisciplined, very sloppy.
Now this also, is first year, which is always tough.
Right.
This year.
But he also finished the year with a playoff in sight. I guess we'll call it. With a drubbing to Texas A&M, who is just mediocre.
Fair.
We've seen him at Notre Dame go to the playoff. We also even have 4-8 seasons in like 2016 as well. So he's a little bit up and down for my liking. In terms of, again, just being, we're talking about elite of the elite, top three coach in college football. I would like to see a little bit more consistency.
Okay, that's fair. I also just give the tiebreaker here to the SEC in this front. Because as we've seen with Michigan, and, you know, other schools, even when they dominate their conference, it is so tough to them if you have to go up against the playoff against some of these SEC schools to slay that dragon. That's why what Dabo did was just so impressive, and it's just unfortunate where this is now because he was able not only go toe-to-toe against Alabama, but then take them down. You know, and I know he ended up losing to LSU in that title game, but just to always be in that conversation and have the success that he did, it's what makes it just a great story because you look at Ryan Day and Harbaugh as good as they've been when you get into these big, big games. And I know Ohio State has been to a national title game, but, and they gave Georgia everything they can. It's okay. Will those schools moving forward into the future end up being able to win a national championship? Or is it just whatever the best of the SEC is going to have to offer until you get into what you saw in the semifinal just happened in the national title game, where it's Georgia, Ohio State, just depending on the draw of the bracket, and then you're able to make the kick. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, the future of Sean McVay.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I thought Sean McVay was coming back to the Rams. Now, it wasn't a lock, but we had these conversations all throughout the year. Matthew Stafford, is he going to come back? Is he going to retire? And Matthew Stafford, on his wife's podcast, Kelly Stafford said that he was going to play next year. Then Aaron Donald, we know that feels like it's year to year. And there was some talk right before that Super Bowl and a conversation he had with Rodney Harrison that he was going to walk away. And when he joined us this past offseason, it seemed like he was going to play for two more years. And he's locked in, he said, for two more years with the way the contract is structured. But that doesn't mean that he couldn't retire after this season. And then there was Sean McVay, where there's all these rumors about TV. But when he comes to a contract agreement, and it was kind of secretive, but then we find out, okay, him and Leslie both got extensions. I thought, and we've talked about this before, Hickey, as long as Stafford is there, that he would be there if he thinks Stafford could play still at a very good level. Not even elite, just very good. And then we even talked about this, got to be 2 weeks ago, even if Stafford leaves, even though that's his out to go reset, recharge the batteries, and then go somewhere else, that you could maybe be intrigued by drafting someone. Because he's never drafted a quarterback that he's had to develop with the Rams that's a starter. Jared Goff was there. Matthew Stafford, they traded for. So maybe they could have been inclined if they didn't trade away that, if they had their draft pick this year, which they didn't, and were able to capitalize off a good season, and now we know that draft pick is with the Lions, where they could have got their quarterback of the future. But in a few years from now, Stafford walks away, you could be bad for 1 year and then get a good draft pick, and I know it's easier said than done. You find your quarterback, and then you develop him. That could have been intriguing, I thought, to this young, offensive, innovative mind of Sean McVay. But the way that Jeremy Fowler reported this today, there is no doubt in my mind that we're going to get an announcement within a week or two that Sean McVay is going to be walking away and he's going to be retiring or taking a few years off or a year off and going into television. Because Jeremy Fowler had this tweet this morning, or this afternoon, actually. Sean McVay, whose future is in limbo, has permitted his coaching staff to search for other jobs without resistance, per sources. McVay said in a staff meeting that he doesn't know what he will do next year and won't block those who want to explore opportunities. If he thought there was at least a chance, Hickey, that he would be coming back, and maybe McVay's from a different cloth and cut from a different cloth, but if he thought there was still a good chance he was coming back, or even if it was 50-50. And I know, right, if you're going for an offensive coordinator position, defensive coordinator position, it's different. They can't restrict you. But if it's the same kind of move, then quarterback coach, they can restrict you. But there would have been no way that he would just allow his staff, if they want, to just go and go somewhere else.
Especially all the turnover they've already, you know, dealt with in recent years, because when you're good, people want to hire you off your staff. So
especially when Cliff Kingsbury got hired, it was a friend of Sean McVay. No Sean McVay.
Shook hands with Sean McVay. Boom, you're hired.
Zach Taylor got a job, and Zach Taylor's been phenomenal with the Bengals, but we kept on making those jokes that if you just got a cup of coffee with McVay, you got a job.
And so when you're used to always having, you know, always having to replace, especially offensive guys, I'm sure it's frustrating. So, right, if you was actually thinking, I'll be back next year, well, you think you want some sort of staff continuity. And then for me, at least, the tipping point was Liam Cohen is best friend, presumably left Kentucky to go work on the staff this past year, already left the Rams to go back to Kentucky to be the offensive coordinator. That's sure right there. If he's leaving, it's not looking good.
That job, how attractive is it? You play in a beautiful stadium, SoFi Stadium. You have a quarterback who we believe is coming back. If McVay walks away, does that mean then Stafford walks away? If McVay walks away, does that mean Aaron Donald accelerates his retirement? How attractive? Yeah, if Cooper Kupp coming off an injury, one of the better wide receivers in football, how attractive is that job if it goes the way that we both think it is, that Sean McVay is going to be doing TV next year and not going to be coaching the LA Rams?
I still think attractive because, okay, sure, you may lose Aaron Donald, but I think you hear Matthew Stafford say he's going to be back. Cooper Kupp's going to be back.
But Allen Robinson's going to be back. Does Stafford maybe walk away if McVay walks away?
Well, I guess it depends who the head coach is, but if you're an offensive mind especially, like this is, I know they're banged up this year, and that's the thing, like a large part was injuries, and they do need to make moves, but Les Snead at least has shown you he is willing to do whatever it takes to put the best product on the field. So if you're a head coach going there, you may lose Aaron Donald, but at least you have faith in the GM and the owner. They'll do whatever it takes to give you the best team possible.
But it's going to take a while to rebuild.
Just free agency, trades. Like, again, they're aggressive.
But if you get Stafford that walks away, Donald walks away, you then got to find a new quarterback. That's not just
Well, Stafford
so leaves
simple. A different conversation. But again, by all reports, he's going to return next year. He said it multiple times.
Yeah, so, well, if McVay doesn't come back, I just wonder if that is going to turn it into a different conversation. I don't think it's a lock.
If
McVay
Sean
walks
Payton?
Away, I think you got to reevaluate. That's the name. Because if you're Sean Payton, and we've had that conversation, I think it was Rappaport who said his preferences, the Chargers, the Rams, or going back to the Saints, I think the report was.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Glazer? I forget which insider it was. That was like a month ago. Well, the Chargers doesn't look like they're going to open up. You could go back to the Saints, but I think you're only going back to the Saints if Brady's coming with you, and we don't know if Brady's coming with you. Well, then the Rams do open up, and you get the opportunity of maybe going to the Rams. And imagine that bidding war. Because if Payton could go to the Rams, if you're the Cardinals, you should be throwing the kitchen sink anyway, but then you got to be throwing the kitchen sink and then some, because you don't want to have to go up then against them in the NFC West.
And it's perfect for McVay because that TV spot opens right up then. Sean McVay out of the booth. You could slide right Sean Payton out of the booth and Sean McVay right in there.
Well, I think McVay would probably be a color commentator. But you are right if he wants to do studio. Like Bill Cowher has done studio forever. Gruden was in the booth calling Monday Night Football games. Sean Payton, as you just alluded to, he was on the studio set this year doing segments. Put it this way. Do you have a problem if McVay walks away?
Not at all. I actually respect it.
Respect it in what sense?
That you can realize, like, look, I need a life outside of my job, and I respect the fact that I, want to have a family, want to just see the world.
Does it come off to you, though, at all, him quitting a little bit, where it looks like it could be some tough times here for the Rams? You don't know how healthy Stafford would be moving forward. You know Donald's only going to be playing for one more year. Some people are going to look at it and say, oh, he quit on the Rams. You don't get that vibe.
No, I mean, it doesn't look good, but we were also talking about this after the Super Bowl, so it's not like he came out of nowhere where things are going well. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm here, and all of a sudden now it's one bad year. He goes, actually, I'm out. We were talking about this last year of could he actually retire after winning the Super Bowl. So it's not like this was a discussion out of nowhere because they're, 4-13, whoever they were. This is a discussion because he wants life. He wants the other things outside of just coaching football, and this was, even when you're at your pinnacle of winning a Super Bowl, it's still the draw was there of leaving.
Now, if I set the over-under of 3.5 years, if he walks away, over under 2.5 years, take the over under on him coming back and coaching again, because he will coach again. You're not thinking, even Gruden took 10 years off and he coached again. And Sean McVay is 36 years old. How quickly do you think he would get back into the game? Because I think then that does answer a little bit of the quitting part. Where if he just takes a year off and goes to TV and then comes back the next year, it's okay, you were trying to get out of a bad situation, kind of like what Sean was doing. Now, Sean Payton was there forever. You can go walk away. I have no problem with it. Live your life how you want to live. But if Sean Payton's on a sideline next year, why'd you leave New Orleans? It was because he didn't have a quarterback. That's why he left New Orleans. So if Sean McVay takes a year off and then next year he's in TV and then the year after that he's back on the sideline, would you then look at it a little bit differently?
A tiny bit, but I mean, that's exactly what Sean Payton was doing. Sean Payton was alluding in May that he was like, I can't wait to get back to coaching. So
now I don't think anyone ever believed when Sean Payton walked away that he was going to go be a TV superstar for 10 years, because right afterwards he's like, oh yeah, even though this feels like I've coached my last game, I would never say I coached my last game. And then he quickly pivoted off that stance and it was, yeah, I'm a coach. I think I will coach again. And it was very clear that he was just taking a year off. For McVay, it would not surprise me if he spends several years away and just gets his fix in the TV booth, whether that's calling games or that's just being a studio analyst. And don't we always say in life, and I know football coaches are wired differently because they're just workaholics, if you could get more money and work less, who would not sign up for that? But it seems like in sports, whenever you could get more money and work for less, that's when people object to it, and that's when people have a problem to it, because we're all so passionate. We want to see these people play, and we want to see these people coach, obviously, and benefit us selfishly on the field, whether that's on the sideline or whether that is playing the game. But if I'm Sean McVay, I'm 36. I've already won a Super Bowl. If I don't coach again, I'm fine with that. I think he will coach again. But if I could go get one of these Romo types of deals or a Troy Aikman type of deal, and have one of these TV companies just throwing a ridiculous and a stupid amount of cash at me. Now, I know it's different because Bill Cowher is a little bit older, but people still think that Bill Cowher is going to come back, and he's been way gone. Now, Mike Tomlin's been in Pittsburgh for 16 years, and there's always that Bill Cowher conversation. Like Tony Dungy, different. He was older, but he left. Tony Dungy, who was in studio with us this summer, said the only job he seriously considered maybe taking was the Lions job. But yeah, Bill Cowher walked away in 2006, and there's still people that think he's coming back. And look at the Bill Cowher life. From a convenience standpoint, with how stressful it's been for all the years you were a coach, and Bill Cowher obviously had to go through a lot personally too, but you now basically work, what, one day a week? You fly in whenever you do on maybe a Saturday, and then you do the NFL Today on Sunday, and that's it. That's a great life. And you, I don't know how much Bill Cowher makes, but I'm sure that Bill Cowher gets paid a pretty penny. Now, Sean McVay, just the time where you pick up wanting to go to television and where salary's just being thrown out like they're nothing for TV broadcasters, if I'm McVay and I go make $15, $20 million a year and basically just have to fly in on a Friday, and not even that, maybe just fly in on a Friday and then, you know, meet with the teams and then call a game on Sunday, or just go to the studio and make sure you're in the studio on Sunday morning and be in and out wherever in 24 hours. He's living in L.A., so if he works for Fox, the studio's right there. That's a convenient life. And it's a lot less stressful than coaching football games, and you will make more money. So I get it if McVay walks away, but it just shows you, where I think if this happened like 15 years ago, it'd be like, what the heck are they doing? Like, what the heck is McVay doing? I think a lot of people go, yeah, if I was in his position, as cool as it'd be to continue to be a coach, less stress, more money, less work, I'm in for that. And that's what I think Sean McVay is going to do. I think he's coached his final game as the head football coach of the LA Rams. Eventually, he will make a return to the NFL, I would think.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. As we've been saying all throughout the year with the Dallas Cowboys, doesn't really matter what they do in the regular season based off the stellar regular season that they had a year ago. If you can't translate that into postseason success, then no one's safe. And Mike McCarthy, I actually think, Hickey, for the most part, has done a good job this year with the Cowboys. When you miss your quarterback, Dak Prescott, for five games, I know Dak is not performing well, and people always have issues with his clock management and all that. But there's no excuses here. Like, you go into the playoffs. I know they've never defeated Tom Brady. The Cowboys have never defeated Tom Brady. Brady's 7-0 against the Dallas Cowboys, and you lost them in week one. But this is not a great Tom Brady team. This is not a great Tampa Bay team. This Buccaneers team, they're vulnerable. They're 8-9 for a reason. And if you lose this game, I don't know how McCarthy's going to be back, especially when how in the moment you do have Jerry Jones just being so reactionary. And I think everyone before the start of the season, they made a prediction, would say Sean Payton would have been coaching the Dallas Cowboys next year. And then with the regular season they have, they go, okay, McCarthy probably should be back. But if you don't have success in the playoffs, Jerry Jones isn't getting any younger. And I do think McCarthy's job is on the line. Like, we both went into this year, Hickey, saying that McCarthy, bare minimum, would need to get to an NFC title game. Is that still true? Or is it just he has to win this weekend?
No, I think NFC title game, because let's just say they beat the Bucs. They're 8-9. Then you go to Philly, and what if they get waxed? What if you lose, I don't know.
Because it's in division.
35-17, and yeah. It's like, you can quickly point to the Bucs win and say, well, they're 8-9. You know, they're not a good team. You should beat them.
Well, let's just look at all the scenarios. If the Cowboys win as the 5 seed, they're either going to Philadelphia, San Francisco, or Minnesota, right?
I guess you have the Seahawks beat the 49ers.
Yeah, but then you'd be going to Minnesota, because then the 7 seed would be going to Philadelphia. So you look at that and you see all, and I guess if the Giants beat Minnesota, then the Giants would be going to Philadelphia, and then the Cowboys could be going to 49ers. But either way, if you look at any of those three scenarios, like, let's just dumb this down. If they go to Philadelphia and lose, then you lost 2 out of 3 times to Philadelphia this year. If you go to San Francisco and lose, you lost to them last year in the postseason. So then it's back-to-back years losing to San Francisco in the postseason. If you somehow go to Minnesota and lose, you beat them earlier in the year, 40-3? So either way, you are right. It's not just this weekend. This is where it starts. But anyway, you look at it and cut it the next week, it's not going to be a good look for you. Like, there's ways you could lose in the playoffs, and no one wants to lose, but you could say, okay, we don't have to fire everyone. But either of those three scenarios, you lose 2 out of 3 of the Eagles, you're not the best team in the division. You lose to the 49ers, and that's back-to-back years. What progress did you actually make in the big spot? If you lose to Minnesota, well, what happened to the team that you just crushed in the regular season? There's no way to spin it. I think McCarthy's going to have to get to the NFC title game. You're right on that. Let's hear from Jerry Jones. He was on 105.3 The Fam earlier today, and he asked if Mike McCarthy, or was asked if Mike McCarthy's in the hot seat if he loses on Monday night to the Bucs.
No. I don't even want to. No. That's it. I don't need to go into all the pluses or minuses, but we're not seeing any. We're not basing. I've got a lot more to evaluate Mike McCarthy on than this playoff game.
That doesn't sound very convincing. Now, Hickey, if Mike McCarthy, let's role play here a little bit. You're going to be Jerry Jones. If you actually believed in Mike McCarthy, and I'm the talk show host. Was this with Sean and RJ?
You know it.
Okay. So let's just say, I don't know if I want to be Sean or RJ, whichever one. I like them both. Hey, Jerry, is Mike McCarthy's job on the line this weekend? Now, you answer that if you're Jerry Jones and you actually believe that Mike McCarthy is going to be back next weekend.
Absolutely not, fellas. I love what Mike McCarthy has done. He's the head coach that I think is going to get us to the Super Bowl eventually. And you know what? This is not a game that's going to be determining his job status. He is locked in for 2023. He is my guy. I believe in Mike McCarthy.
Perfect. That's an answer where I would actually believe you. Now, let's hear the Jerry Jones answer one more time as Jerry Jones is on 105.3 The Fan, and he was asked if Mike McCarthy's job is online this weekend.
No. I don't even want to. No. That's it. I don't need to go into all the pluses or minuses, but we're not seeing any. We're not basing. I've got a lot more to evaluate Mike McCarthy on than this playoff game.
You know what? I'm getting off my fat ass right now. I'm giving a standing ovation to Jerry Jones. You know why? That is small progress being made by Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is all about drama. Jerry Jones, for a second, when he said no, he was very careful with what he was going to say next. And he usually just talks in circles and circles, and then it's a minute 30 that goes by, and you're like, huh? What just happened? What are we talking about? You almost forget the question that was asked whenever Jerry Jones gives an answer. And for a second, you had the devil and the angel on his shoulder. And he said no, and then he kind of caught himself, and he realized, let me just wrap this up as quick as possible. Because Jerry Jones knows down deep, when he's like, oh no, I'm not even going to go there, that if they don't perform on Monday, or they don't perform in the divisional round, and like if you lose on a game-winning field goal, okay, there's ways to justify it. But McCarthy has to know this, and Jerry Jones knows it as well, that now this is a game-by-game basis in terms of the evaluation of Mike McCarthy's future. And if Jerry Jones walks away from a playoff game this year feeling like he got embarrassed, I think he's going to move on from him. Especially when you know Jerry, he likes to go star hunting. And as long as Sean Payton's still out there, that's been a dream of his for a very long time.
This could be his last chance to get him.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like he's motivated to get out of the broadcast booth and get a job. So if you're Jerry Jones, is waiting until 2024 is probably not the answer. If you want him.
No, I don't think there's a way that Sean's not on the sideline next year.
Right, so if you say, oh, I want Mike McCarthy one more year, and then we'll try to get Sean Payton, you know, he'll wait a year. He's not waiting, so.
Here's the question, though. Let's say Sean says no. Do you think he places that phone call to Sean before firing McCarthy?
I would think so.
I would, too. Now, there is a chance that Sean says no. Maybe he still fires him. Next coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Dan Quinn. And I think if Dan Quinn is the next coach of the Cowboys, I think if you're a Cowboys fan, it's like, okay. A good defensive mind, has coached teams to a Super Bowl before. But do you feel like you're winning a Super Bowl with Dan Quinn? No. So that would be a little bit of a change of emotions. All right, McCarthy's gone. Mike's gone. We're getting Sean. Oh, no. Yeah, maybe Sean McVay will quickly come back into coaching.
I was saying, which Sean you calling?
Yeah. Jared call both. There's no doubt about that. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll do a little overreaction, a proper reaction, coming off another weekend of football.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.